in Exodus as well. And we discover that there is very much concerning purification. And that these laws that take up the majority of these books, came directly from God to Moses during his 40 days that he was on top of the mountain. And he described every detail of what the rite of purity must be for the Jewish people, setting aside a special part of the Jews for this rite of purification, whom he would call the priests, and they would be the followers of Aaron. Now this purification was so that the invisible presence of God could come in a symbolic manner inside of the Holy of Holies. So much focus. God himself said to Moses, these sons of Aaron will carry the posts that belong to the outside of the tent. These will carry the fabric that belong to the holy. These will carry the fabric that belongs to the Holy of Holies. These ones will carry the veil that separates the Holy of Holies from the holy. These ones shall carry the ark itself. And they will be carried in this manner, and it shall be set up in that manner, and it shall be done with the great purification's rites. For God is holy, and he comes only into the most pure of places. This for the invisible presence, the symbolic presence of God upon the propitiatory, which was a seat that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant, upon which nothing sat. Two golden angels watched over this seat. There was nothing there except the symbolic presence of God. And then Father Butler goes on to say, if God is so strict to make the Holy of Holies and the holy and the priesthood of the Old Testament and all of the rules that he gave to Moses so that his invisible presence must be, how pure must be the womb in which he finds himself incarnate? How much detail must he have put to his creation of that woman? How much thought? How much care? For if she is going to be the place where the real presence of God is going to be for the first time, in the fullness of his divinity, he will go into her womb. And this cannot happen unless she is the most pure and the most perfect work of all of his creation. And so, a most sacred moment in her life was the moment that she was conceived. 15 years before the Messiah would be born, the most beautiful part of God's creation came into existence in the womb of Saint Anne. And from the first moment of her conception, she was most beautiful. The angels did not see her beauty, said Saint Bernard. And the first angel that would lay eyes upon her beauty would be the angel Gabriel. He was told to go and to give a message to a 15-year-old girl. And when he opened the door and saw this girl, he was overwhelmed by her beauty. And so he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." The angels bow in awe before her beauty. It is this great beauty that is inside of her that makes the angels serve her. She is the queen of the angels simply because of the excellence of her beauty that cannot be compared to the beauty of any other part of creation. And so this day we celebrate the creation of the most beautiful thing that God has ever made, his own mother. And the book of Proverbs describes the importance of this mother in the eyes of God. And we read it in this Mass, and we read it in many Masses of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the incredible beauty of this act of God's creation. And so God says, the Holy Ghost speaking of his spouse, the father speaking of his daughter, the son speaking of his mother. And these three persons inspire the sacred writer of the book of Proverbs and the sacred writer of the book of the Canticle of Canticles to discuss the beauty that is Mary. And we get the sense, says Bishop Sheen, that the history of the world is the story of the love of a mother and her son. This is our world. And those who do not come into understanding in even the smallest way of the love of the son for the mother and the mother for the son cannot understand our world. And so in the book of Proverbs, it discusses her beauty. Universally, the saints say this passage that we read in many Masses of Our Lady is the Holy Ghost speaking of Mary. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds, and set a law to the waters, that they should not pass their limits. When he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him, forming all things. What does this mean? All great artists stand in front of their subject, and they contemplate the beauty of their subject, and then they pick up it, the various kinds of paint. They get a canvas, and they take paintbrush, and they take the colors, and they put them upon the canvas, and they try to make a representation of the beautiful thing upon which they are looking. This is the story of the 6 days of creation. That God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost looked upon that most beautiful woman that they would create. And looking at her beauty, they put a portrait of it, of various aspects of her beauty, which we find in the mountains, and we find in the stars, and we find in the clouds, and in the sky, and in all things that were made by God. I was there when he formed all of these things, says sacred scripture of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We should be reminded of Mary when we see the snow fall as it fell today. It reminds us of her purity. Her grandeur is in the mountains. Her beauty is in all living things. God saw what he would do. And St. Thomas Aquinas says that there is, in order for things to be unified, there must be one archetype, or there must be one principle, or one prime analog upon which everything is based. And when we look at all things under the various aspects of this prime analog or this archetype, then we can see all things put together in great beauty and harmony. And since this prime beautiful thing is so infinitely beautiful, there is great diversity in the other beautiful things that God has created. And each of them shows forth a little bit more of his goodness, a little bit more of his beauty. And God chose that it be her mother, his mother, upon which he would base all things beautiful on this earth. They who do not have any love of his mother do not understand beauty. They cannot experience harmony. For she is the beauty and the harmony of our universe. From the very first moment of her creation, she is the beautiful creation of God. She shows forth all that he can do. The most beautiful, the greatest of his power is seen in her, who is the Mother of God. And then Father Bertler goes on to say, let us look at our churches. From whence does the beauty come from our great cathedrals? From whence does the beauty come of the Catholic faith? What makes the Old Testament and the New Testament so much different? What makes the New Testament so much different than the Old is its woman. The woman of the Old Testament was Eve. And that is why Paul will say, St. Paul will say of the Old Testament, that it was the testament of death. He says that in Romans chapter 7. It was the law of death, for Eve brought death into the world. And the woman of the New Testament is Mary. The man of both testaments is Jesus Christ. In the First Testament, we are preparing for His coming. In the Second Testament, we are living with His coming. But the difference between the two testaments is Mary. She's the difference. We have a mother now. And our church has been touched by the delicate, loving hand of a woman. And that is why there is beauty in our churches. That is why there are so many saints down the last 2,000 years. That is why there is a clarity of the understanding of truth. The truth was confused in the Old Testament. It wasn't clear, but she brings clarity. She who was not infected in any way with original sin, who had none of its defects, she brings clarity because she shows that all of our teachings are about one reality, and that's Jesus Christ, her Son. And He is the only reason for her existence and the only thing that she prepares all the creation for. When did she begin to delight to be with the children of men? It was on Good Friday that she began to delight to be with the children of men. When her Son said to her, "Woman, behold thy Son. Look upon the murderers that have put me upon this cross. And see them as your only begotten Son." And she turned her heart to us. And she gave us the love that is reserved for her Son. It is a love that even in heaven we will not be able to fully contemplate and comprehend. How is it that the mother of sorrows, in the midst of her sorrow, delights to be with the sons of men? As our Lord would say, the ways of God are not the ways of men. That which is foolishness for God is wisdom for men, and that which is wisdom for God is foolishness for men. And the Blessed Virgin is our great glory. She is our great hope. And Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, when he founded the Society of St. Pius X, he told us, members of the Society, "I do not have a specific goal or purpose for the Society except for this, that we have a great love of the Church, that we have Romanitas," he said, a great love of Rome, a great love of the Church. In order for us to have this great love, He made our principal patroness the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Immaculate Conception. Because she is the one who teaches us how to love Jesus Christ in all His ways, whether it be in His physical body or in His mystical body, which is the Church, or whether it be in His will, which is worked out through the sacraments and through the teaching of that Church. In whatever way is Jesus Christ shown upon the earth, she is the one who tells us how to act properly in His presence. She covers our faults. The incredible beauty of Mary. We simply look with the angel Gabriel at her today, and we bow down in awe at this wonderful creation of God. And why is the human race special? Why has God chosen to live amongst us? Because of the perfect creation of Mary. As Bishop Sheen would say, she was the world's first love. When God saw the beauty of this creation and how she would never, ever disappoint Him in even the smallest way, then it was worth it to make a world in which there would be sin. It was worth it to make men who would crucify His Son, because she, in her beauty, is infinitely greater, or quasi-infinitely greater than any sin. And that is why she only requires the use of her heel to crush the head of the serpent. She does not need to exercise. She does not need weapons. She does not need to prepare for battle. She simply looks upon the serpent, and with her heel, she stamps him out. He is terrified of her beauty. And it says in the Canticle of Canticles that she is more terrible than an army set at battle array. She is more powerful than all other things that God has made. The angels can only do her bidding. Her own son will never once go against her will. And if we want happiness, it is only necessary to be close to her. She is the one who will teach us how to get to the kingdom of heaven. No matter where we are in spiritual life, no matter how much of an enemy we are of our Lord Jesus Christ at this time, she can teach us. Simply look to her beauty. Accept the hands of the loving mother as she gently guides us away from sin and into the kingdom of grace and into the kingdom of heaven. She is the beauty of our church. She's the beauty of the human race. And so we can begin to understand why St. Bernard would say, De Maria, numquam satis, of Mary, never enough. Love her, and we will be happy. Love her, and we will be saved. We will come to the understanding of all things that need to be known. We will learn to detach ourselves from things that are unimportant. She will guide us to the kingdom of heaven because it's the only place she knows where to go. She will bring all of her children. And our Lord said himself, Father, I thank thee that I have not lost one single soul that I have called. Father, I thank thee that I have not lost one. And this he said before he went into battle. He said it in his prayer in the Gospel of St. John chapter 17, before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, let us recognize that those who are her children, they shall be happy. They shall attain heaven. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and that watcheth daily at my gates, and waiteth at the posts of my doors. He that shall find me shall find life, and shall have salvation from the Lord. So a good policy. We'll read here in just a few minutes this consecration to Our Lady, to Our Lord and to Our Lady, to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which we read, society, we'll be reading it in Latin in front of the tabernacle in just a few moments. But in the very last paragraph, Archbishop Lefebvre put together this oblation that we make in the Society of St. Pius X. We offer ourselves up to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and in the last paragraph, especially to Mary. O Domina mea, O Mater mea, me tibi totum offero, atque ut me tibi probem devotum consecro tibi oculos meos, ares meos, and so on. O my Lady, O my Mother, I offer my whole self unto thee, and may I prove devoted to thee, and I consecrate to thee my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being, as also so that I may also be yours. O good Mother, protect me, defend me. Ut rem ac possessionem tuam, amen. As your thing and possession, amen. And these are the last words we'll read in front of the tabernacle that we make each year in the society, offering ourselves once again to the Blessed Virgin, because she is the one who will protect us in this great storm in which we find ourselves today. Ut rem ac possessionem tuam, as your thing and possession. And the word rem in Latin has many meanings. Means thing is the most basic meaning. And as the word thing in English applies to many things, so it does in Latin. But in theology, the word rem refers to grace, the gift of grace. And so we say, may I be your gift. May you fill me with your grace as your thing and possession. So if we want grace, we need to get it through her. And then also in the other parts of the prayer before that, O Lord, you made all things in heaven and on earth. I desire to spontaneously make an oblation of myself, perpetually to remain in you. O Lord, in the simplicity of my heart, I offer myself today to you for eternal servitude and the gift and the sacrifice of perpetual praise. And then we priests add these words, receive me with this holy oblation of thy most precious body and blood, so that which I daily offer in the presence of all the angels who are invisibly assisting the Mass. I offer these things, I offer this Mass, so that it may be for me and for all of thy people unto salvation. So each day in the society, each one of us priests, of course every priest should do this, but with this consecration, that every single Mass that we say is for all of the people, all of the faithful, the entire Catholic Church, that for my salvation, for the salvation of others, forgive me, O God, take away from me all of my sins because of thy holy name. Behold, I commit myself to thy mercy. I offer also to you all of my goods, howsoever few and imperfect they are, so that you may heal them and sanctify them, and always bring me, and you may always take them ad meliora trajas, to better things, which is actually taken from the ordination of priests. We may be given ad meliora trajas, which means brought up to better things, brought to sanctity. I offer also to you the necessities of my parents, of my friends, of my brothers and sisters, and of all of those in my care, so all of you the faithful, that we may benefit, or that they may all benefit, including myself, on account of your love. In the spirit of humility and in a contrite heart, I offer to you, O Lord, my sacrifice in thy sight today, that it may be pleasing to you, O my God. This oblation of my servitude, I beseech, O Lord, that you may find acceptable in your sight, and that you may keep us from eternal damnation, and may save me and all of your elect to be numbered amongst your elect through Christ our Lord, and then the offering to Our Lady, O Domina Mea, O Mater Mea. And so this offering we make every year in the society, and they will make this offering in a few moments. Now we need to try each year to come to a greater love of Our Lady. Remember last year we consecrated our church, our parish to the Blessed Virgin Mary on this day of December the 8th. We renew this consecration today, and then I'll make this oblation in just a few moments. But let us all turn to simply look at the beauty of Mary. When we see her beauty, when we look upon her beauty, we will nevermore want to turn back to sin. The sight of her beauty is the one thing that will turn us away from sin permanently, and the one thing that will teach us to grow in the love of God and to begin to be faithful to our resolutions that we fall down upon so often. She is the one who will teach us how to be faithful until we arrive in the kingdom of her Son. And I'll close it at that. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then you can go ahead and kneel down. I'll open the tabernacle, and then I have to make this oblation here that we make each year in the society.